You're listening to the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast, sponsored by Franklin Professional Associates, excellence in staffing and recruiting, and supported by regional leaders like Enterprise Bank, helping people and businesses create success.
Hello and welcome to the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast. Travis Condon here in our chamber library, and sitting across from me today, we have Dominic Arsenault. He's the owner of Domination Plumbing and Heating with locations in Leominster, Fitchburg, and Worcester. Dominic, thank you so much for being a part of the program today.
Thank you, Travis, for having me.
Absolutely. So, Dominic, I always like to find out about people's stories before we talk about your business, which we're going to talk a lot about. But how about you? What got you started in plumbing and HVAC, and what was your journey like to get into this field?
So what got me started in my journey was always being around people that were hands-on, such as my father, my uncle, and I guess being involved in a working class, blue-collar family. My parents were never in business. They didn't own businesses. And I'm sure if they did, I would probably be 10 steps ahead. But we learn as we go, and we're delivering just the best experience for everyone. But, you know, we started off as my dad bought a little camp across the street from our house growing up. I was probably about 10 to 12 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And we literally went across the street every single day when he got home and attacked the new part of the project, from jacking the house up on stilts, putting a foundation under it, installing all new walls, floor, and then moving into that home after. So that was awesome, being able to be part of that and just seeing the different trades and steps to it.
And is that what first drew you to like the plumbing side of things?
Yeah, I was more of hands-on with the carpentry and tools such as besides mechanics.
Yeah.
Engines and all that were never my bread and butter. It was more swinging the hammer and doing everything inside a home.
So that was kind of your first exposure, helping your parents and helping your family renovate that property. You decided to open your business 2019, coming up on 5 years. As you mentioned, your parents had never been business owners, but you'd seen your father, and before we were talking on the air, you mentioned your uncle also working in trade. So seeing the two of them, what made you decide you wanted to go out on your own rather than working for another company?
Watching my uncle have the freedom of picking and choosing his own hours and not have to ask someone if they can go on vacation or leave early to start a long weekend, and just being able to promote, market, and seeing their name at different events, businesses, I thought that was always a big factor and perk to it. Mm-hmm. You know, sponsoring a whole lot of golf course. Just, I feel like, you know, if you're an employee, you can't do that. And it's nice kind of being a leader.
And you can give back to the communities you mentioned with those different sponsorships.
Love giving back, exactly.
So you opened your first location in Leominster in 2019. Since then, you've expanded to have locations in Fitchburg and Worcester. Can you talk more about that expansion? How did that come to be, and how has that impacted the different areas of where you provide service?
Yeah, so we tried, of course, higher populations, mm-hmm. such as Fitchburg and Worcester, more houses, more work and all that. And we spent our first couple of years going out to Boston, the North Shore, kind of all over, where if we would have put a little more thought into a closer location and higher population, it's just a less fuel charges, it's less driving hours, and it's just all about how you market. But opening up these locations, I'm getting more into the community. So mm-hmm. that way I can get in and people know me more from putting up 10 yard signs in a few closer towns than one across the state over here, one across the state over there, just because people talk and they can forget if it's not refreshed.
Yeah.
Constantly.
How about that brand awareness?
Brand awareness. Exactly.
So when you talk about this expansion, and not just having a location and having an office in those communities, but in terms of employees, you started out, how many did you start off with your first location, and how many do you have now if you had to guess?
Yeah, so I started off, my first location was actually out of my house.
Yeah.
I used my spare bedroom as my office. I had one secretary helping me out a couple times a week. Then it went into full time. I wasn't able to separate my home to business, you know, lifestyle. Yeah. It was, I'm trying to have dinner and then the phone's ringing. Of course, I have to answer it. And as we got bigger, I was using my garage as my shop.
Yeah.
And we would, every few months, we'd get another van, couple guys. Of course, I just started off as just myself.
Mm-hmm.
But after every single month, we would acquire a new van, couple guys, which got me out of the field. And it got, came to a point where my neighbors were saying, hey, we see a lot of vans coming and going. This is a residential neighborhood.
Yep.
You can't be running a business out of it. So I respected what my neighbor said.
Yep.
And I reached out to my realtor and was able to try to find a shop that was for sale. And I got blessed with our first location, 1330 Central Street in Leominster. From there, we renovated the whole building inside and out, changing up the siding, installing new walls and plumbing fixtures, and changing the zoning from residential to commercial.
And that can be a process, working through and working with communities that you're in to go through that.
Exactly.
Now for you, what's it like to see what started off, as you mentioned, in your bedroom and then moving into your garage, moving to a one location and now three locations? For you, what's it like to see all of that come together over the course of 5 years as a business owner?
It's the most coolest and blessed feeling. I don't take all the credit by any means. I give it back to my team. And it's just getting in the room, mm-hmm. meeting the right people, asking questions, and building up your team, not just with your employees, but also your referrals and other affiliated partners, such as my accountant and attorneys
mm-hmm.
and everyone in between.
How big is your team now, going from that one-person operation?
Yeah, my team is 22 employees.
That's awesome.
14 trucks on the road every day, and the phone continues to ring.
And when you talk about your employees, I know you have a very active presence on social media. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that and the decision to include so many members of your team in the photos and videos, and you guys do different videos every month. It seems like there's more and more content coming up.
Yeah, so what's so funny about that is at first, I always liked posting,
mm-hmm.
You know, posting the wins and just showing people that we made it, we can make anything happen. But at first, my team was always really camera shy, or they weren't too confident at, you know, starting a new company. It was a risk for a lot of my other employees because they just didn't see where it could end up, or they see other companies
mm-hmm.
that had been established for 20 years that had all this shop where I wasn't established yet. So that was a little risk. And at first they were just a little camera shy because who knew if they were only going to stay with me for a couple months or a lifetime. But ever from the beginning, I knew that if I did hire someone, I wanted to make it a lifetime. I wanted to make it a career.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to build the best brand and environment for anyone to work.
Now that you get them on the videos, how crucial is it to helping build that customer relationships, you know, seeing your employees on camera, that being the same people that come into their house or come into their business to do that work?
They got comfortable. They got more confident with it. Honestly, being on camera, promoting and marketing, it's a full-time job itself, but they've got a lot more comfortable with it. They know that's kind of part of their routine
yeah.
and that's going to continue to give them work throughout the next 10, 15 years.
Does it also help build that customer relationship?
100% does, because usually a lot of people that follow or stay tuned with what we post are sometimes going to see that same face show up to their door, fixing their problems. And I'm sure they're already five steps ahead of feeling more comfortable at the time, saying, oh, I just saw you on this little commercial or
yeah.
this little funny video.
When you look at the trades and service industries, when you have someone come into your home, I think you want to have like that level of trust, that level of credibility, because here you are. It's usually a bigger project, so there's a money aspect of it. And then there's that privacy of letting them into your personal space.
100%. And it all comes down to face behind a brand,
yeah.
You know, and being able to relate with someone. Trust. A lot of people can read someone's character just by how they promote themselves or mm-hmm. not being talkative. So that kind of all goes into effect. And I look into all that perspective when hiring someone,
mm-hmm.
kind of telling them, this is our theme, this is how we do it, and we're all about growing.
And I liked when you mentioned earlier, you want to turn these job opportunities into careers for people. Because I think we always think about how, you know, our parents might have worked at the same place for 20 or 30 years. It seems like for them, a lot of times that's not seen as the same career path for folks now. And it seems like there are more people who think that they're going to have to job hop and job hop. So for you, how important was it to create that environment where you have someone who might come in as an apprentice and then be with you on this ride as a business owner for the next few decades?
It makes it easier in the long run, starting them at the bottom, working them from the top. But also a lot of my techs too, they didn't all start off as plumbers. They didn't all come for, they, a lot of them went to a vocational school, mm-hmm. not every single one, but if they can use a tape measure and see things being level compared to not level and seeing the different perspectives of the job being built, I kind of just bring that to as, well, we'll bring it to a farmer, right?
Yeah.
A farmer knows that, hey, he has to get water to his sink. So let's not overthink it. All it is it's coming from the street right to that faucet. Nothing in between. So what would you do if you were the owner? Would you go hire someone and pay $15,000? Would you find the best solution? Would you use their resources, YouTube, Google, phone a friend? Don't overthink the process and then put the code into it. And after that, look back and say, hey, how can I always make it better? This is art. This is my name behind it. And if you always have that mindset of what can I do better the next time and next time, it's the best thing to have.
Going to step aside for a quick break. We'll continue this conversation with Dominic Arsenault with Domination Plumbing and Heating coming up in just a minute.
Do you have the right high-quality employees to successfully compete and grow your business? Franklin Professional Associates' team of recruiters in Leominster is here to help you hire the best so you can be your best. Visit franklinprofessionals.com today.
Welcome back to the Inside North Central Massachusetts podcast. Travis Codden here. Sitting across from me in the Chamber Library today, we have Dominic Arsenault with Domination Plumbing and Heating. Plumbing, HVAC, so plumbing, heating, air conditioning, there are so many different areas that you specialize in. Can you talk about some of those areas that you really focus on in terms of work? As you mentioned, you know, being the farm, bring the water from the street to the business. What else do you do in terms of those services?
I definitely will. And a little bit before that, with, like I said, always getting better with doing the work itself.
Yeah.
As me growing this business, there's so many things to the business that is not just plumbing. So I've rebuilt my website probably four times in the past 4 years that I've owned the company.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always something I'm looking at to do better the next time around, or how can I improve? But back to your question, we cover anything from the water lines to the gas, which is heating, cooking, generators. We cover drainage and sewer. So making sure everything is vented properly, working with kind of the health departments so nothing smells like sewer out there and it's perfect for you to breathe. Water filtration, heating, air conditioning, and that's going from residential in a home to businesses, restaurants, and anything like that. We started doing a lot of new construction, which is working for builders and contractors, building new homes, remodels and additions. And now we're going into service work, such as upgrading their kitchen faucet or replacing their dishwasher or installing a new heating system, working with MassSave to get them some rebates that the state likes this equipment. It's energy efficient, so it saves the customer money. And it's just a win-win. It's kind of what everyone's doing.
And can you talk a little bit more about that MassSave aspect? And, you know, especially at a time, I think, right now where a lot of folks dealing with inflation, people are looking at ways to cut down on their bills. And whether it's upgrading a different product like a dishwasher, like you mentioned, but also different water heaters and things like that.
Yeah.
What are some of the different avenues people should be looking at in terms of upgrades if they've been in their home for a while, or maybe they're moving into an older home that's not a new construction, that's not going to have all these newest, you know, kind of greatest features?
Yeah. So the main thing is you can't just always come down to the engine itself or the heating system itself. You first have to look at everything else in the house, such as the insulation, the windows, and all that. It's kind of like if you put a hybrid or electric motor in your car, you can't have the biggest tires and have it still be very, very cheap. So we have to make sure the house is sound insulated and there's no drafts or nothing where it's going to be wasted fuel or energy. And then with dialing in the system, we usually work hand in hand with a licensed electrician, or we have a few partners on our team that do a lot of that as well. But it's finding a system that is going to be easily maintainable and it's going to be use very little fuel. And we're doing a lot of oil to gas conversions because oil sometimes, oil is a little more expensive than gas, but also you have to maintain it a lot more because it smokes a lot more and there's a lot more things to it. And then if you have oil, you have an oil tank where that's going to need to get serviced or replaced one day. So now one less thing there, we don't have an oil tank. A lot of the older equipment used a chimney. Houses a lot of days are eliminating chimneys because of carbon monoxide and fire departments. So again, we're always working hand in hand too with the fire departments, making sure that's all good. And just, it all comes down to A, how much the equipment is running to. So usually we put things on timers with the new thermostats, setting it to when you will be home. So it's not running all day long. The house can go down a few degrees if you're not there. And then that way, if it kind of knows you're getting out of work at four, that thermostat is controlled to the time where it's telling now the heating system, let's put it up 4 degrees. So when Travis is home, he's comfortable, he's set, he has the hot water, and it wasn't burning extra fuel all day.
And when it comes to heating, I'm hoping, and I've got my fingers crossed here, that we can finally shut down our heating systems. But with this New England weather, you never know.
Unpredictable.
But as folks are kind of getting ready to make that switch, whether or not they have an AC system or they're just closing off their heat for the season, what are some things they should think about with that system as they get ready to stop using it for a little bit and then look ahead towards like the next season and getting it ready for next year?
I'd say always keeping in the back of your head, documenting what you have done, if you ever had any issues, and getting things on just a schedule, an annual schedule. There's nothing really too much you have to do with a newer system or even an older one besides turn down the thermostat. Every house is different, though. Some pipes are ran in colder spaces or they need glycol, which is antifreeze. Some need to get drained down, but I'm sure a lot of houses that are fully occupied daily, it just shut down the thermostat and we'll see you in a few months.
Now, with warmer weather on the way, how should people be getting their AC systems ready? Or if they're thinking about getting AC installed, what are some factors to consider?
Yeah, so some factors to consider is it's going to be making sure you have the electricity in your house to adequate adding that AC. Knowing if you have a 100 amp or 200 amp panel, it's going to be if you, a lot of people turn on their ACs and they said it's not blowing as colder as it was prior. So we usually come in there, we do a cleaning and check the refrigerant and usually have to top off those refrigerants. Sometimes those refrigerant lines acquire leaks over time. So we'll usually throw in leak patch or can fix a leak by putting it on a pressure test. Another couple things are there's a lot of filters and screens in that equipment that needs to get replaced and changed so that way you're breathing that fresh air. I know life is busy, so a lot of people
It's kind of out of mind sometimes.
Again, we have a great service agreement, so we can come in there for the customer and they just can worry about their day-to-day instead of all the other bigger problems.
And speaking of problems, you know, a lot of folks have been thinking of water in basements. You look at the rain that we had last year and the rainy spring we've already had this year. Sump pumps, how important is maintenance of those? And can you talk about what you do in terms of sump pump repair?
Yeah, sump pumps, they fail right when you need them or expect to have them work. There's not too much with servicing them besides mm-hmm. always inspecting them. If you ever go down to your basement, making sure they're not completely black and they're that shiny as they were before, or at least testing the float with themselves. We had a few new systems that have failed. So, or they, at the time of the storm, when they were getting a lot of rain, there was probably wind, a tree took out the power. Mm-hmm. So they installed this battery backup system that runs on a battery that's holding that power. So if your power goes out of your house, that battery is charged with enough power to keep the water pumped out. Or they also have a lot of sump pumps that run on water pressure.
Really?
Yes. So even if you don't have any power, you'll always have water coming in from the town.
Mm-hmm.
And that can generate that sump pump to work. There's a ton of different options with them. I always don't recommend sometimes just one, but two for that backup reason, kind of like parachutes. And it's a common thing where they need to get replaced every so many years.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing lasts forever, but it's, we're still upgrading customers sump pumps daily and providing them with the different options of what there is to prevent something from happening.
And I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago about, you know, you're never really prepared when these things happen, or sometimes storms happen and different things will fail. And unfortunately, that seems to be, I think a lot of homeowners know that there's always that one thing where like the water tank will fail or the heat will go out when they're not expecting it. And unfortunately, if you're not prepared for these things financially, sometimes are you ready for that burden or that expense. But I understand you are offering kind of an option for clients. Can you talk a little bit about that service that you're now offering?
Yeah. So I understand that income is tight for a lot of people, and we want to provide all options to prevent them from ever going through a disaster or anything happening. So we work with a few different financing companies and mm-hmm. can get same day approval on things, so customers can have, you know, little monthly payments, or we take all, of course, cash options such as cash checks, credit cards, and we've been really lenient on working with people that, you know, have that problem of not always having the money to pay right away. So again, we have options, and we want to solve the problem first, or they can figure that out after.
And I know we spent a lot of time talking about some of the residential side of things, but as you mentioned, you also do commercial. Can you talk a little bit about the commercial side and what made you want to tackle both of these? Because they are, I know, entirely different in terms of how you approach systems.
Yeah, two different systems, two different jobs. We had to learn it all, getting our plumbing licenses,
mm-hmm.
and also working as an apprentice. I did a little bit of both. So usually we just, we like to provide the same service we do for residential as we do for commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I have, with my team, we have two different crews. We have a crew that covers our residential, and we have another crew that covers our commercial. So two different trainings and two different annual education refreshers that we do. So everyone stays fresh, and we have the right specialists at the job to take care of that. But we have, we're constantly bidding new work and just helping bring the state and country more modernized and bringing in new businesses, helping people.
And speaking of helping people and bringing in new businesses, what's it like working on these projects that are new projects? I know you do a lot of service, but also for new businesses that are coming online, what's it like for you to kind of get into that ground level and really help that vision come to life?
So I love seeing the stories behind it. I love watching someone start something from the ground up, and I love being part of it because, again, teamwork makes the dreams work, and no matter what you do, you'll always need a public bathroom, and you'll always need hot water, heat, etc. So for someone to feel comfortable, and that's the first thing we come in and do, and just take that right out of the equation, saying you hired a professional, we're going to do everything worry-free for you, deliver it, meeting the code, getting the inspections so the town's happy, they're happy, and they can run their business doing whatever they want to do without any issues.
And so you really help their business come to life.
Exactly.
And for you as an entrepreneur, it's got to be so rewarding to see that.
100%. That's what gets me going every single day. I'm grateful to start my day, and I love doing what I do.
Yeah, I know you're sharing that love now on a new podcast you started up. Your first episode dropped. Can you tell us a little bit about the podcast and where listeners can check that out?
Yeah, so listeners can check that out on Spotify and YouTube, Domination Plumbing. We've did a few, probably 2 to 4 podcasts so far.
Mm-hmm.
And every single week, we usually have a new guest, either talking about business or hobbies or anything in between. I've always watched a lot of podcasts, or I've seen other guests get invited.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that I probably would have been on a few before starting my own. Instead, I can make some impulsive decisions. Every once in a while, that was one of them. But it was a cautious decision because we just went on Amazon and got a $75 kit and put this to reality. We figured out a few quirks that we had, such as the sound quality mm-hmm. and camera footage. But we did just get some new equipment, and we're ready to bring it to the next level.
And you share your own experiences and your own brand on your own social media content. And for you now to be able to help other entrepreneurs do the same thing, how does that feel with your podcast?
It feels awesome. I love talking about it. I have a lot of emotions and excitement with it. And I just like relating, networking, and hearing other people's stories as well, helping them grow.
Now, if people need your help, whether it's with an emergency situation or they're working on new construction or working on a new business, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you at Domination Plumbing?
Best way is give our office line a call, 978-602-7547. They can send us an email, dominationplum@gmail.com. Reach out to us through our website, and any of my office staff will take down their message and help bring it to my attention, and we'll figure out a game plan.
Awesome. Well, Dominic, it's been so great chatting with you today. We thank you for your time.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
And we'll be back with another new episode next week. We've been chatting with Dominic Arsenault, the owner of Domination Plumbing and Heating. Find them online at dominationplumbing.com. They've got locations in Leominster, Fitchburg, and Worcester. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Inside North Central Massachusetts. This podcast is produced by the North Central Massachusetts Chamber of Commerce. For more information on this episode, links to other episodes, or if you have any questions, please visit northcentralmass.com.